Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Miriam Devinsky, who's the author of Playing the Game of Life and Business to Win, The Search for Truth and Enlightenment. Miriam, welcome to the program.
So happy to be here.
Well, I am really excited to talk with you because this book looks so wonderful, because it really is something that, you know, when you're playing a game, it should be something that you recognize that there are steps and strategies, and there is steps and strategies in life and business. So I think it's so powerful that you're going to approach this topic. So before we get into your book and some of the techniques in there, give us a little bit of your background and your story.
Well, I came to United States from Moscow. I had a happy life, defended my PhD, had a wonderful job, beautiful apartment, and everything was just great. Until the moment that my neighbor, who was working in military intelligence, which I didn't know at the moment, took me for a walk and said, "Miriam, you have to leave." I didn't even understand to leave what, to leave for what reason. And he explained to me that he is a person who works in military intelligence. He was in the KGB for his own business. And my file was by God's mercy in front of him. And he strongly suggests that I leave the country. Thank God for United States of America Constitution had the 27th Amendment by which I was allowed to come in. I come in, I taught Russian in the University of Pennsylvania, Drexel and Temple, and start taking classes in psychology because my PhD is obviously in Eastern psychology, and yes. You're a doctor, but that's about where it ends. You just cannot have a private practice until you have an American degree. I transfer myself to New York University, and again, by God's grace, I was admitted to graduate school, given a scholarship, was a co-teacher of psychology. After I finished my graduate education in that, for years and years, I sold real estate because AT&T and Bell Lab split at the time of my graduation, and just was no job available. Eventually, I have a son being 43 years old, so it again postponed the beginning of practice for several years. And then Alex went to kindergarten, and I finally opened the practice. I got in the best therapist in America very, very quick doing hypnosis. I was a diplomat and a fellow of clinical hypnotherapy. I did past life regressions, life between life regressions before by casual conversation with a girlfriend, I was introduced to dowsing. And it was so incredibly fascinating for me what you can do with pendulum and how natural I was in it, that I actually devote a lot of time and a lot of effort to learning this technology. And by now, I do believe that I can offer something that is so fascinating and incredible and useful that eventually was a reason for writing the book. I need to say thank you to Ray Press, who for 3 years was, encouraging me to put all this, what I'm doing with him and other corporate clients, into writing with ideas.
I want to get into dowsing, but it made me think of a question as you were giving that introduction. What differences in your learning in psychology from Russia to your learning how the U.S. approaches psychology? But back when you started teaching in Tennessee and then moved to New York, did you notice big differences in the ways that U.S. Approached psychology versus what you were taught in Russia?
Yes. I taught in University of Pennsylvania, taught Russian and started taking classes in psychology. And it was completely evident to me a very big difference between European style of education and American style of education. To make the situation a little funny, my American colleagues would always ask me, Miriam, how do you know about that? How know about this? And to me, it was just, you know, in Moscow or, you know, the education and environment is such that it's very encyclopedic. You know, a lot of things around what you're specializing in. In NYU, in New York University, I experienced very different approach. People really know absolutely to the smallest detail, everything that they may to know about what they're specializing in. Versus the broad field of psychology where it fits. Both approaches have their pros and cons, and I was very, very lucky to experience both of them. Again and again, American education in psychology, specifically University of Pennsylvania and New York University, is very impressive.
Yeah.
It's very, very... I already had, a doctorate, and I still learn a lot in depth.
Well, we should all be learning every single day. There's never a time that we all just arrive. So just constant and never-ending improvement. Right. I think that is really great. Right. So you took your traditional approach from your psychology learning from Russia, and you're learning in the U.S., and you're teaching. And, interestingly enough, when we teach people something, we tend to learn it even better and better and better ourselves.
Right.
So probably you started noticing that, plus working with clients and patients, and probably your methodology and strategy started coming to the surface, which is why you started thinking, let's get this down into this book, Playing the Game of Life and Business to Win, The Search for Truth and Enlightenment. So you mentioned dowsing, and for me, before I met you, I had never heard of that word. So let's talk about that. What is dowsing?
Well, this is a very good question. there is several definitions of dowsing, and the depths of how people understand dowsing depends on how they understand their reality of life. So in brilliant book, Dowsing, the Ultimate Guide for the 21st Century, Elizabeth Brown gives two definitions of dowsing. One of them belongs to Haniel Mueller, who is a dowser. And it is dowsing has undergone a paradigm shift from the useful but relatively mundane science of finding water sources, lumps of metal, and old drains, to the realms of the spiritual search into the mysteries of human consciousness and its relationship with the earth. And dowsing is a conscious attunement to the field of consciousness that non-locally connects each and every one of us with the cosmos as a whole. And this is Jude Curiman, PhD, cosmologist and dowser. Dr. Susan Shumsky, the reality is that pendulum and other dowsing tools are excellent methods of communication with the voice of God. My definition of dowsing is it's active spiritual dowsing is a technology in which the focused intent of an experienced dowser can create a desirable change in the client's reality through the non-local transfer of energy. It can be done regardless of the distance between the dowser and the client. Well, let me just suggest a possible explanation of how dowsing works. Years ago, I endorsed the book Dowsing Beyond Duality by Coven and Coven, and it's a brilliant book if people want to learn dowsing. And in that book, that is a definition. The spin of the pendulum creates a vortex which acts as a transformational portal to other dimensions. So the spin you make with your pendulum may actually be taking your intent or thought form and facilitating an outcome in a non-physical dimension first that will later manifest in this dimension. You know, the one of the greatest advantages of dowsing is that we can know truth from falsehood. This is an incredible gift. Dr. David Hawkins, author of The Power Versus Force and several other books on A Map of Consciousness, wrote, "The human affliction has been one of ignorance. All the great avatars, Krishna, Christ, and Buddha, say there is only one sin, only one problem, and that is ignorance. So to resolve the truth from falsehood, we can use classic dowsing, which is allows us to resolve yes and no." Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Now, one of the things you mentioned there is I love how you said your definition of dowsing is a technology, and I'm paraphrasing, but a technology to help someone change their reality through a transfer of energy. I love the word technology because people think the word technology is computers and circuits, but in reality, a technology is a set of systems and a process. Well, if dowsing is a technology and it helps enhance reality by a transfer of energy, that is something to look at as far as how can that be. And I think that energy science is a whole world people don't typically understand, but everything is made up of energy. All matter is energy, vibrational and thought and things like that. So talk a little bit more about that technology and how that relates to dowsing with the transfer of energy.
Well, let's relate to how it works with the clients. Obviously, our success is a result of our actions. Mm-hmm. Our actions is a result of our mindset. Up to this point, everybody will agree. But what is really true and interesting is that our mindset is ruled by our unconscious. Yes. In our unconscious, there is all fears, all unresolved crises, all developmental traumatic experiences, all false beliefs about money and everything else. Dowsing can release it. I can release it from my client and transform this energy into energy of positive alternatives to these beliefs. Look what's happening. It changed everything, including our emotional life. Our emotions is a result of our expectation meeting our perception. Our expectations are in our unconscious mind. Perception is what we believe is what we see, what coming to us. The whole majority of therapists trying to help a client to change their perception. While I, with dowsing, thank God, can change their expectations. Why? Because the expectations are in the unconscious and they're driven by their fears, unresolved emotions, unresolved crises, everything unresolved. We don't know what we don't know. It's in our unconscious. If I can find it and release it, and obviously, you know, I have protocols to do it, then we change the expectation. Then what person perceives does not trigger the stress. Mm. So people stop reacting to the life.
And that's a big point there. If you can respond rather than react, then that makes a big change.
Right. First of all, the person is not stressed. Second of all, it's clear-minded and it can respond to reality instead of react to reality. You will have a look at what Sadhguru, famous guru now writes, he says that karma stops when you stop reacting and begin responding. The grace comes in. And absolutely, spiritual dowsing can do that. We can absolutely erase, release all non-beneficial content of the unconscious. It takes time, but it absolutely can be done. And transform it to its opposite, installing baseline of self-love, self-esteem, self-worth, all positive things that, you know, we can only imagine.
After and is that, it is it accurate to think that when you are wondering about a question or direction, and then you are working with a client with dowsing, that the answer is in their subconscious, they just don't know it's there, and you are helping to look for that, release it, and then that's where that pendulum comes in?
Absolutely, absolutely. But the definition of Dr. Shumsky says that it's a way to hear the voice of God. My understanding is that because I am experienced dowser, I connect to the very deep part of my client's superconscious mind, which I would say higher self. And when they ask a question, I channel their higher self answer. This is why my corporate clients not only do sessions, but in between have a lot of, questions. Should I fire? Should I hire? Should I go to that meeting or this meeting? Whatever the question is. What is the percent of benefit of doing that and this? What is the financial benefit of doing that and this? How can I answer this question? I channel that higher self.
And I think some people would understand this definition of what is dowsing and then say, why douse? And I think that's a broad question because there's a lot of applications, like what you were just saying, is it connects to what's already in your subconscious, but you don't know that. So what are some thoughts around why someone should use this technology?
Look, what was happening before spiritual dowsing? I was normal psychotherapist. I did it myself. What we try to do with the client is to change their point of view, make client aware of the unconscious programming. And then, you know, as Dr. Schaffner wrote, it can take years of reflection, introspection, and difficult conversation with others to come to understanding of yourself and finding your way. This is why, you know, normal psychotherapy takes considerable amount of time and not necessarily very successful. And it was true until spiritual dowsing opened a different reality of communication with a client, higher self, with higher deep superconscious mind. And yes, it is there, but client does not have access to it. So let's look about how new knowledge can be assimilated by a person. There is a very famous empty your cup conversation. And it's a scholar, Tokusen, who was full of knowledge and opinions about karma, comes to Raitan, the Zen master, and ask about Zen. At one point, Raitan refilled his guest tea cup, but did not stop pouring when the cup was full. Tea spilled out and ran over the table. Stop! The cup is full, said Tokusen. Exactly, said Master Raitan. You are like this cup. You are full of ideas. You come and ask for teaching, but your cup is full. I cannot put anything in. Before I can teach you, you'll have to empty your cup. Now, to empty your cup is harder than you may think. By the time we reach adulthood, we are full of information that we don't even know is there. In fact, everything we learn is filtered through many assumptions and beliefs that we already have in our unconscious mind. So according to Dr. Carl Jung, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Now, unconsciously, we learn something new by linking it with something we already know. It fails when new has a different frequency from the old, and that is in our unconscious. So this is why spiritual dowsing, that minor patterning, is so incredible technology, because we can go to this unconscious, empty the cup, and fill it with new transformed concept that leads to different reaction to life, different reaction, different action in a business.
So when I'm hearing you say that, it made me think of a question. You know, you don't know what you don't know, and then you become, mm-hmm. you know, consciously conscious of things around you. So mm-hmm. after working with a patient with several sessions of spiritual dowsing, is there a time that the person starts understanding themselves better? And then when they have a question or concern about something in their life, they may not necessarily need as many more dowsing sessions because they've become more aware of how they operate, because the dowsing has now brought to their awareness how they're wired.
That is absolutely correct. Very often.
Thank you.
My client, who is with me for years, will say, isn't that interesting? What you just said, I thought so. I was thinking about it in exactly the same way. So what is actually happening here is very, very important, because they become the clients again with time. First of all, the unconscious, functions completely differently. So the life is by intent versus by default. The law of attraction, law of manifestation, law of success all works by intent instead of by default. And they are beginning to build the bridge to their own superconscious mind, to their own higher self.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't that then tie into, you hear the statement that people make, you know yourself. And I think that almost exactly. is that bridge that you're talking about. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. Aristotle: knows thyself, Socrates. He who knows others is wise. He who knows himself is enlightened. Tao Te Ching. The privilege of a lifetime is to become who you truly are, exactly to know that you are your own higher self, which mm-hmm. is a Christ consciousness and I am presence. And when people
and you
come
mentioned
to,
Aristotle and Socrates, and I know in education you would know this, the Socratic method is a strategic way of asking questions to bring about learning. Well, if you are correct. Approaching your own higher self and knowing yourself through a Socratic method of asking yourself questions, doesn't that help with what you're talking about there? It's just a constant, never-ending loop of learning your own self.
Correct. That's what enlightenment is. Enlightenment is to live in full understanding and in full experiencing of your higher self. That's what enlightenment actually is. And what a spiritual repatterning, mind repatterning, dowsing does, it brings you to that opportunity and brings you to actually be able to live heaven on earth. That what is Jesus the Christ, the Master said, the paradise, the heaven is inside of us. This is where yes. it is. It's in our higher self.
This has been such a great enlightened conversation about what is dowsing and why, and knowing yourself. You mentioned earlier about the pendulum. Can you talk a little bit more about the significance of the pendulum? And is it for instance, can I just go down to the store and buy a pendulum and dowse? Probably not. But what is the significance of the pendulum, and how does that work in the technology and technique?
In fact, there are several divination devices. Pendulum is one of them. I do use pendulum the most. For me, very often I sort of, when I'm channeled the client and connected to his high self, I sort of already know the answer. But for me, the pendulum allows me to verify it. If you ask me the question, what is the financial benefit for me to do such and such, then I need the pendulum to count. Is it 100%, 95%? If you need to hire somebody as an assistant, then you would ask Miriam, you know, I would love to know integrity of this person, professionalism, their Hawkins, standing on a Hawkins scale, that I need to douse with pendulum because I count it mentally and pendulum will show me where to stop. People who, you know, that mundane practice of dowsing, which all that started with when people were looking for a water, they use a different device. And that device from parallel, they hold it in parallel, it will cross when they are over the water. So there are different devices, but device is an extension of me. It's not, you just cannot buy the pendulum and douse. You need to learn dowsing. You need to learn to get connected to your own higher self, to higher self of your client. That's a dowsing. Everything else is just learning to douse.
You know,
and it
I
can
think
be done. Majority of people can do it. Let me just make an analogy. Can everybody play piano? Absolutely. Can everybody be Vladimir Horowitz playing Chopin? No.
Right.
So some people will, you know, be amateurs and can answer yes and no questions. And some people can go all the way and have a, it's a practice and a gift, both. Mm. Well, I would say gift and a practice, both.
Yes, I love it. Well, it's so enlightened to learn from you. And thank you for coming on and teaching us about this really interesting topic, and is one of the main introductions of your book. So I'm looking forward to reading that when it is complete. So if someone is listening to this podcast interview and would like to learn more about yourself and how you work with people on dowsing and other things, what's the best way that they can reach out and connect with you?
Miriam360.com.
That is very simple. Miriam360.com.
Right. And it's small m, but probably does not matter. Miriam360.com. And I'll be very happy to connect.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Miriam. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.